proudly brought to you by American Designs, where creativity meets community and country. At American Designs, we believe in the values that make this country great. Hard work, creativity, and quality. They're your hometown partner for print-on-demand products that turn ideas into cozy custom apparel, thoughtful gifts, and so much more. Focus on building your dreams, all while staying rooted in American tradition. Check out American Designs of the Farmers Market podcast page or on Facebook for a direct link to their story.
Great day, everybody. My name is Stephen Holt, and you're listening to the Farmers Market podcast.
Strolling through the market, it's a beautiful day. Fresh picked produce just a step away. Meat and dairy from the farm to your plate. Homemade crafts that are truly great. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be.
Now, let's get started with today's episode featuring this week's Market Highlight of the Week, a seasonal gardening tip for January in South Carolina, and we've got some farm folklore. There's a lot going on at the market today, so buckle up and let's make the most of this hayride. Hey there, welcome to the Farmers Market Podcast. It's time for my favorite segment, the Market Highlight of the Week. Now this week, I've got to tell you again about the Frosty Farmer Market, the Frosty Farmer Winter Market to be exact. It's hands down one of the best market experiences I've had this season. The moment I walked in, we went to the farmer's market this past weekend, and the moment I walked in, the energy was amazing. There were over 75 vendors offering everything from fresh winter veggies, handmade crafts, scarves, delicious bread. It wasn't just the market. It was like stepping into a winter wonderland without the snow, which we had this past week, but that's okay. Now, when you first walk in, McAllister Square, if you've never been there, it was a former mall, and it's been converted or reconditioned or repurposed, however you want to say it, and they did something right. They actually opened this up to have like an indoor market. The parking is great. There's plenty of it because it was a former mall. As soon as you walk in the double doors, you hear the music. They had a DJ playing a mix of different tunes, and it just made the whole place kind of come alive. I mean, it wasn't overpowering. And let's face it, it's hard not to smile when you've got good music in the air while you're kind of browsing or it wasn't really window shopping, it was more table shopping, but you get the idea. The people were really special, and I'm not talking just about the vendors, I'm talking about everybody. It wasn't too crowded where you couldn't walk around and you were shoulder to shoulder. There was enough space to move. Now, the vendors were awesome. They were passionate. You can tell that they genuinely love what they do. And I had a great chat with a woman who makes these incredible teas. And I got to taste some of those teas. And it was cool to hear her story behind why she got it started. Now, the shoppers were just as warm and friendly. It just felt like the energy was all about a community coming together, and that's pretty cool. Of course, I can't skip the food. There was plenty of food. The smells alone were worth the trip. We happened to grab a carrot cake. I forgot what else we grabbed. We grabbed some good stuff. We grabbed some microgreens. Was there something else? We did try some tallow. I don't think we bought any tallow. At least I don't remember any tallow, but I know we tried it. But it was great. It was the perfect opportunity to go out and do something on a chilly day. Oh, and if you're bringing the kids, they'll have a blast. There's this bouncy house. As soon as you walk in and you turn right, it's all the way at the back end. So there's plenty to do for the entire family. You got music going, there's food, there's vendors, there's shopping local, there's picking up local produce. I mean, if you're looking for a festive outing, you've got to check out the Frosty Farmer Winter Market. It's all about supporting local, connecting with the community, and just having a great time. You can find all the details about the market over at thefarmersmarketpodcast.com. You'll find it under Market Highlight. There's just so much to see and do. And we're hoping to get a few of those farms on our podcast really, really soon. And if you know of somebody that would like to be on the podcast, shoot me a link, go to our website, hit us up on Facebook, and let us know. Maybe we can get them on the show and you can hear firsthand why they do what they do and why they love what they do. So that's it for this week's Market Highlight of the Week. I'll catch you on the flip side. Green thumbs and maybe slightly frozen fingers. Welcome to this week's gardening tip. Okay, let's set the scene. It's January. The garden looks like a scene from a winter survival movie. And you're probably wondering, what on the earth can I do for my plants right now? Well, not much. Well, no, wait. Don't hang up your gardening gloves just yet, because January's actually, it's the perfect time to get a jump start on cool season crops. Yes, cool season crops. We're talking broccoli, kale, and lettuce. Now, I've not had a lot of success with broccoli, but kale and lettuce, I knock it out of the ballpark. They're the overachievers of the veggie world when it comes to cold weather. These greens love the chill almost as much as we love complaining about it. And the best part? You don't have to venture out into the cold to get started. You can do it all indoors where it's warm, cozy, and not trying to freeze your nose off. So if you're new to starting seeds indoors, don't panic. I think I've got you covered. It's easier than trying to assemble IKEA furniture. Trust me. Okay, step one. Let's kind of run through the steps here. You gotta gather your supplies. You're gonna need some seed trays or small containers. And if you don't have any, just go to your recycling bin. Yogurt cups, takeout containers, anything that can hold something will do. Now, you've got to poke a few holes in the bottom. The drainage holes are important because plants hate soggy feet just as much as we hate wet socks. So you got to make sure that there's plenty of drainage. Next, you'll need some seed starting mix, not potting soil. Everybody goes out and tries to get just potting soil. You need seed starting mix. And the reason you need seed starting mix is because it's light and fluffy, and it's perfect for helping those tiny little seeds grow to grow strong roots. It's basically kind of like the spa treatment of gardening. Now, once you've got your supplies, it's planting time. Fill your containers with the seed starting mix and lightly moisten it. Think kind of a damp sponge, not swimming pool, damp sponge. Plant your seeds at the depth recommended on the packet. And here's a little tip, just in case you ever forget, just go double what your seed size is. As a general rule, it's about twice as deep as the size of the seed. So for lettuce, I mean, it's like nothing. It's just like a little press into the soil. And here's the thing about lettuce seeds. If you're not careful and you sneeze or you breathe out heavy, you're gonna lose a lot of seeds on the floor. Trust me. Whatever you do, label. You need to label everything in your tray. I can't stress this enough. Broccoli and kale seedlings look almost identical. And you don't want a surprise salad situation later. So just make sure you label. Now let's talk about the perfect environment. Seeds are like Goldilocks in a way. They need things just right. January sunlight is slim, so you might need some grow lights. If you're using a sunny window, rotate your trays every few days so the seedlings don't lean over and get really long in one direction. Temperature-wise, you want to aim for about 65 to 75 degrees. If your house runs a little chilly, it's okay. Consider maybe using a seedling heat map. It's kind of neat to have a little kind of cozy electric blanket for your plants. And don't forget humidity. You want to cover your trays with a plastic dome or some kind of cling wrap to create kind of a mini greenhouse. Just remember to take it off once the seeds start sprouting. You don't want to accidentally kind of grow a rainforest. So just be aware of that. Now, fast forward. Let's say you've done your seeds. You've got your mix. Everything's working great. In a couple of weeks, here's the fun part. Your seeds will start to sprout. It's like magic. It is the moment when you know something is working. Now, what you want to do is you want to keep an eye on them. If they start getting leggy, and what leggy means is they start running straight up to wherever the light is and stretching out, they're going to need more light. Water them gently to keep the soil moist, but not soggy. And a spray bottle works great here. So if you've got one of those hanging around, it's pretty nice to have. Once your seedlings have their first true leaves, it's time for thinning. I know it kind of sounds harsh that you're thinning it out, but it's actually going to be for the best. Snip the weaker ones at the soil line to give the strongest plants room to grow. And don't forget to feed your seedlings. Use a diluted liquid fertilizer every couple of weeks to keep them happy and growing strong. By the time spring rolls around, you're going to have a little army of kale, broccoli, and lettuce seedlings ready to take on the garden. It's a wonderful thing to get started early in the cold weather because it gets you ready for those spring-like temperatures. That's all I've got for this week's gardening tip of the week, seedlings. How you can start indoors during the cold weather season. I'll see you on the flip side of the break. Thanks for joining me after the break, and welcome to this segment we like to call Farm Folklore. I'm your host, Stephan Holt. Today we're diving into something that's kind of been a part of farm life for centuries. It's animal symbolism. You've probably heard some of those sayings, you know, sly as a fox or strong as an ox. But have you ever thought about where those ideas come from? Spoiler alert, it's not just clever wordplay. These animals hold deep meanings in folklore and in farming, and their stories have shaped the way we view farm life and even ourselves. So let's unpack some of these animals and their symbolism throughout history. Let's start with the ox, the ultimate symbol of strength and perseverance. Now, these animals have been essential to farm life for thousands of years, plowing fields, pulling carts, and basically being the workhorse for everything. In Chinese mythology, the ox represents diligence and prosperity. It's a reminder that hard work and steady effort pay off, which, let's be honest, it's a lesson we all could use when tackling Monday morning. Let's go on to the fox. this one's a little bit more complicated. In folklore, the fox often symbolizes cleverness and adaptability. You'll find it in European tales as the trickster, always outsmarting its foes. Think of it as the farm's problem solver. Now, sometimes solves problems by stealing your chickens, but it kind of goes with the territory. In Japanese folklore, the fox, or the kitsune, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, has a different vibe. It's a divine messenger, wise and even lucky. So depending on your culture, the fox might be a troublemaker or a spiritual guide. Either way, it's a definitely not a boring animal. Now, let's talk about early risers in the morning on the farm. And you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the old rooster. You probably think of it as the farm's alarm clock. And you're right. But there's more to it. The rooster is a symbol of vigilance and renewal. It crows signals at start of a new day. A fresh chance to get things done. In some traditions, it's also believed to ward off evil spirits. Now, that's a lot of responsibility for a bird that spends most of its time pecking at the ground. But hey, roosters take their job seriously, and you gotta respect that. Now, there's also a neat little animal that we all see everywhere on farmland, and that's the cow. It's the universal symbol of abundance and nurturing. For farmers, cows have always been more than just livestock. They're lifelines, literally. They give milk, they work the land, and in some cultures, they're even sacred. In Hinduism, for instance, cows represent life and sustenance. In Celtic folklore, there are stories of magical cows that never run out of milk. Those tales show how deeply intertwined cows are with the idea of providing for the community. They're the ultimate symbol of care and connection. Now, what farm wouldn't be complete without a few horses? Let's talk about horses for a second. Before tractors took over, horses were the muscle behind farming. I mentioned the ox being kind of the power horse of the farm. Well, the horse, they're strong, they're fast, and let's be honest, they're majestic. In mythology, horses symbolize freedom and journeys. Take Sleipnir, I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's Odin's eight-legged horse from Norse mythology. It could travel between worlds, which might not make it practical for plowing a field, but it sure sounds impressive. Horses also represent resilience. They remind us that with strength and determination, we can handle whatever challenges come our way. Speaking of challenges, have you ever tried to avoid a crisp piece of bacon? Yeah, I'm talking about pigs. Yep, pigs have their own spot in folklore. It's not just about mud baths. There's more to it than that. In German traditions, pigs are symbols of luck and prosperity. There's even a saying, to have a pig, meaning you're fortunate. Makes sense, right? Pigs grow quickly and provide a lot of sustenance. They also have been tied to the idea of abundance. And of course, there are also tales where pigs represent overindulgence. But let's focus on the positive. Pigs as symbols of plenty and growth. Now, I know in South Carolina, unless you're out in the country, you probably haven't seen an owl. Well, you know what? I take that back. In subdivisions, you've probably seen some owls, some barn owls. They are the farm's resident night owl, literally. Owls have this mystique about them. And in folklore, they often symbolize wisdom and intuition. The ancient Greeks associated owls with Athena, the goddess of wisdom. But in other traditions, hearing an owl at night could be seen as a bad omen. It's this mix of respect and caution that makes the owl such a fascinating symbol. It's a reminder that not everything in nature is easy to understand, and that's okay. Farm animal symbolism in folklore is more than just old stories. It's a reflection of the relationship between people, animals, and the land. These symbols remind us qualities like resilience, adaptability, and care. Traits that are just as relevant today as they were when these stories were first told. Whether it's the ox in the field, the rooster in the coop, or a dog at your side, these animals and their stories remind us of the deep connections we share with the natural world. That's it for this week of Farm Folklore. I'll see you on the flip side. And that's a wrap, folks. We made it together through this episode of the Farmers Market Podcast. In good spirits, a little humor, and lots of information. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Farmers Market Podcast. If you've enjoyed our segments, whether it was the market highlight of the week, that you had an itching to shop local, the feature farm spotlight that made you dream of country living, or our garden tips that might find you actually, you know, growing carrots or making an Instagram-worthy post, you're officially part of the freshest crew around. You can catch every episode at thefarmersmarketpodcast.com. It's like visiting a farmer's market without the early wake-up call or the accidental tumble of tomatoes. We're also hanging out on Facebook, where you can find us at facebook.com/farmersmarketpodcast. Follow us, share a comment, or drop a photo of your latest market haul. Bonus points for oddly shaped vegetables, no less. And hey, if you've got a farm, a market, or a great story to share, we'd love to have you on as a guest. Just visit our website, click Be a Guest, and let us know why you'd make the perfect addition to the podcast. And who knows, your story could inspire the next wave of local farmers and food lovers everywhere. All right, that's it for today. Thanks for listening. And remember, here on the Farmers Market Podcast, we keep it fresh. Keep it local. See you next time.
Strolling through the market, it's a beautiful day. Fresh picked produce just a step away. Meat and dairy from the farm to your plate. Homemade crafts that are truly great. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. Veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. Learn about the farmers and the seeds they sow, the beekeeper's secrets and how gardens grow. Homesteading wisdom, tips galore. Every week, there's always more. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. The cluck of the chickens, the buzz of the bees, fresh air and sunshine, it's all you need. Connecting with the farmers, the crafters too. Every episode there's something new. Keep it fresh, keep it local. Celebrate the heart of a community focal. From veggies to honey, there's so much to see. The Farmers Market Podcast is the place to be. So grab your basket, come along, tune in each week for the freshest song.